What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of My African Moves. We have a very special guest for you today. We have the co-founder of Swahili Honey, Christopher, here to talk to us about his company based in Tanzania. So stay tuned.
So I'm Mercy. You know me. That's Ken, my partner on My African Moves.
Okay.
And you, of course. Obviously, we know each other from the Mandela Washington Fellowship. So yeah, that's how I knew about your bees. You're the bee whisperer.
Yeah.
Anyway, so welcome to My African Moves podcast. So today, this is our first day from the inception of the idea to actually starting it.
Yeah. And your guest number three for the day.
First two, right?
Yeah.
So we have had quite an experience, so we're good.
Well, this is my first time.
Oh, for you, it's your first time?
It's my first time doing a podcast.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, so I would like for you to introduce yourself. Tell us what you do, the whole honey business, and you can tell us the honey business, how you work with the farmers, and how you do your part as well.
Okay. Like I said, my name is Christopher. I'm the co-founder and chief finance officer of our company called Central Park Bees. We partner with smallholder farmers and beekeepers by helping them to do modern, sustainable beekeeping. So we train them, provide them with equipment, and then we give them like follow-up services, like how they are doing and how is everything. And we also help them in the harvest season, and also we buy honey from them at competitive prices. So we take the honey, we pack, brand it, and market it and sell it through our honey brand called Swahili Honey. So that's pretty much the short story.
Okay. And then so I know you sell it locally, but which other international markets do you sell it to?
Well, currently we've had the East African market, Kenya, a bit of Uganda, and a bit of southern part of Africa like Malawi, we also sell. We have tried to do some tests in export, like to Paris, sending samples and everything. But you know, the export regulations for European countries are big because you need like an organic certification. And even in the US, you also need like an organic USDA organic certification. So we kind of want to service the local market. And when I say local, to me, even the East Africa, I term it as local because there is no much restrictions in sending the honey to Kenya or Uganda or Malawi for the southern part, you know, because I don't need like special certificates for that because we have those trade agreements, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, but in terms of bigger markets outside, we're still working on that.
All right, that is interesting. Yeah. Because it's something we are interested in as well in terms of understanding our business. So that is really good information. Thank you.
So Chris, let me ask you, why did you choose honey? Why honey?
Honey.
That's a good question. When you're in general, we started in the agricultural sector, okay? So we have done a lot in the agricultural sector. We did onions. We did a lot of farming. And then, you know, we came across this as an opportunity because my partner, who's my brother, was doing his undergrad here in Dodoma, the central part of Tanzania. And one of the big economic activities here is honey, you know?
Okay.
So he first introduced me to it. You know, it was more like a hobby, like a story, like, we want to try this. So at first it was all about beekeeping, you know? So we went through a couple of challenges because we couldn't get equipment, like modern equipment, you know. Well, when mind you, I am not. I haven't studied anything about bees or honey. He hasn't. He has studied the international business. I'm a finance expert.
Okay.
And so while we study in the, like where we try to research in the internet, we see this equipment that can help in the honey, you know, processing, packing. But we don't have any of that here in Tanzania. We tried to research, the closest we could get was Kenya. So we imported some equipment from Kenya. So that's how it all started, you know.
Okay.
It starts as an idea, a hobby, and then you see an opportunity right there, like, okay, we could have a market for this equipment, you know. That's how it's right. Because we started as the beekeeping equipment company, then we went to honey. Okay.
Okay.
So we said another problem we had was we wanted to sell honey, but sourcing the honey was a challenge.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
because of different bees, different locations.
And I'm talking about 2013, 2014, not 2020. You know, 2020, the whole beekeeping sector has grown thanks to us. You know, the whole beekeeping sector has grown. So, but before it was a challenge because there were no modern equipment. Most of honey was stored in bottles which were previously used as liquor storing bottles. Even on Mercy, like Konyagi bottles.
That's very dangerous, isn't it, for the honey?
Yeah, you used to pass roadsides, they would park roadsides, they sell honey in Konyagi bottles, you know?
Oh, wow.
It's a very strong leak in Tanzania.
Okay.
So they would take those bottles and then they would store them in that because they were not allowed to put in plastic because the Konyagi bottles are glass. So it's safe to put honey in glass. And it's easier for them to get the Konyagi bottles because it's a cheap, strong drink in Tanzania. So sourcing honey was a challenge. Also getting equipment to do beekeeping was a challenge. So we saw an opportunity right there. That's when we traveled to China to go and get equipment to see if we can get equipment. We made our first shipment in 2015. We had a challenge because we had not even registered the company or anything. So we had to register a company real quick to be able to remove the container from the port, okay? So that's how it was. So we started with equipment. And then another problem that we had was that we want to sell this, but we don't know how to sell it because it's like a new idea. You know, it was a
we can relate.
Yeah.
We can relate.
Yeah,
for sure.
For who do bees, yeah, you know, they keep bees in logs, tree logs, barks, you know. Mm-hmm. Very local equipment, and they're used to that because it gives them their needed output, but they didn't know that they could do better. So, so that's how we knew we had to train these people, you know.
Mm.
To know.
So I have a question. With the equipment you sell for the equipments that are on your website, because I see on your website you sell equipment, do you also give training for someone, let's say someone wants to start a honey business, do you also give them training for them to start their business?
Good question.
So you supply them with the honey or they have to go source their own honey?
Wait, if I have got your question correctly, let's say you today, Mercy, you want to start, yeah? And let's say you want to start beekeeping, not just honey, right? Because we do everything from source to the final product. So if you want to start beekeeping and you don't know anything about beekeeping, I'm your guide. So because we're going to provide you with training, then provide you with equipment, and then we'll make follow up on how you're doing, how you're going. We'll send our beekeeping officers to your apiary. An apiary is a place where you keep the bees. So to see your progress, and then also provide you with market, ready-made market, because that's that's something we've already worked on. We already have a ready-made market.
Awesome.
Okay, Yeah, with that, Chris, that kind of segues to my next question. Who are some of your biggest customers do you sell your honey to?
Well, locally, our biggest customers are the big supermarkets. Like currently, we have a big client, which is a big supermarket store unit, chain, Shoppers.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shoppers supermarkets. And we have coffee shops. We have bakeries like Royal Oven. You would know Mercy Yeah. Okay. So we sell our big clients right now are more the supermarkets, bakeries, coffee shops, and even individual shops right now, because as we keep growing, we keep getting customers. You know, people check you like, I need honey. I have my store, like a small store. Because they can sell it, because we work so hard on marketing the brand. We believe in letting the retailer, not giving so much work to the retailer, you know, because we do everything in terms of marketing.
Okay.
We market ourselves online. We try to do a couple of meetings with the radio station. So we try to market the brand so that when they stock it in the shelves, sells easily.
Okay. Makes sense.
I know if times were different, you'll also mention hotels, right? Because I've seen some hotels that have your honey.
Yeah, I agree. Times were different. In terms of hotels, I would say that is more of the export market, like in Nairobi. In Nairobi, most of the money on hotels, because we have a very small packaging, such as.
That's
really viable for the hotel.
So as far as your packaging, Chris, do you get your packaging there, or you export it or import it from China, or where's your, because you have very nice packaging.
That's a good question too. We try to mix it up, because there's a lot. There's costing, there's convenience, and then there is differentiation, product differentiation.
Okay.
So we have different packaging for different sizes. Like we import some of our packaging, like the 500 grams, I'm sure you might have seen.
Mm, yes. Yeah, we have.
We import it from China, because that, we did that because of differentiation, because we did market research on the local honey that are in the stores, and we realized they use common jars, but they just differ in their branding. So we import some of these jars, but locally we source because of convenience. We knew when we had started selling honey back in 2017, we have to come up with something different. If we are gonna get the market we have to come up with something different. So that's why we imported the jars. But now that we already have like a market, so we say, let's cut the cost. Let's start sourcing locally. So you'll start seeing, if you go Mercy, if you go to some of these supermarkets, you'll find a different kinds of jars. Like, and still, some people don't recognize the jars because they think we imported simply because of how we branded the jars.
Right.
Just locally. And I think one of the things that forced us to start sourcing locally was the coronavirus outbreak. Because couldn't import easily our jars. For instance, we made an order. This is a very live example. We made an order of jars, a whole container, back in January. We still haven't got it.
Oh, wow.
What is it, because of the situation, or?
Yeah, it was stuck in the Guangzhou port in May 7th. It's been the container May 7th. That's when it started leaving, from January, mind you. It was released in May. So it's gonna be probably early
May. Oh, wow.
So we had to
By the time you get it, that will be June, right?
Yeah, but still, if you go to the stores, you'll find our product.
I bought some myself.
Yeah. You'll see, like, I think the jars might be different, or you might get the same jars. It depends on where you bought it. But if you go to Shoppers right now, you might find the jars are different, because their turnover is big, you know? Yeah. So they have already sold all of our previous jars, and now they're selling the new jars, which we had to source right now, okay? But those are sourced locally. I'm not a big fan of them, but you know, you gotta make ends meet.
Absolutely.
All right, that is awesome. So, we were wondering, what is your one breakthrough point? And After that, I have a very important question for you from one of our fans.
The breakthrough point, it's not really one thing, you know?
I know.
Yeah, it's never really one thing in business in Africa, you know? Because it's always a mixture of different things. One of the breakthrough points was working with the government. Like, in terms of equipment, now I'm kind of stepping aside from honey to equipment. Mm-hmm. Our biggest client in equipment is the government, because they have the Forest Services Agency, which has a beekeeping department, which is available in every district of Tanzania. And you know, every region, like Dodoma, has 7 different districts. So these 7 different districts have a beekeeping department, and we supply to them, you know. Mm-hmm.
Wow, so that is honey money.
Yeah, honey money. Honey money.
So that helps us to fund the whole project, you know.
Yes.
When we supply equipment to the villages, mind you, they don't pay, because it's like you're giving them a capital. So we try to source money from when we do the government tenders, and then we go and supply equipment to the villages, and then we source honey from them, because you still have to buy from them, you know.
All right.
Yeah, so one of our big breakthrough points was working with the government.
And then the government acts as because you work with the government, then
we send it to them, and then they also take it to their villages in the districts, you know. They supply the equipment to them, because we can't reach everybody. We have our focus is in the central part of Tanzania. Okay. So, but working with the government, we've been able to reach southern parts, northern, eastern, western, you know, because we give it to them, we sell it to them, they supply to the villages, you know.
And then your second breakthrough?
Second breakthrough was these programs that we do, you know. They give you exposure. Like we had a Tony Lumel in 2016. We had 2018 was our biggest year. You know that, Mercy, because I was selected for the Mandela Washington Fellowship. My brother, who is my partner, was selected for the Fledge EcoStar Nature Accelerator in Italy. So we were both away for some time. So that gave us, you know, exposure. You meet new people. You know, Mercy, I met that professor.
The bees, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that was another thing. The programs helped us to meet new people and, you know, inject capital into the company, because, like the Nature Accelerator where my brother went, we got a lot of capital from that. I started getting some capital from the collaboration. So through that, you know, it helps.
Yeah.
And the rest is just, you know, sales.
Hustling.
Nice.
Or hustling. So now on the sales part, one fan of ours wants to understand, why do you have that picture sitting on the van with your eyes closed and your mask on? I posted it intentionally.
I mean,
does honey give you peace?
No, you know, that was a very busy day. You know that because that was a day we had an order, a very big order from Shoppers. Mm-hmm. 150 carton each, like 1 kg, 150 carton, half a kg, 150 carton, 300 grams, 150 carton. We had worked from morning until evening trying to deliver. So we were tired. So you know, lady knows when you get back in time. So
I know the feeling. It was quite a nice. It's a nice image.
The mask. You know, that was best thing to know.
You don't have an option.
Chris, I have a question. Kind of switching gears a little bit. Myself being an entrepreneur, everyone in this podcast has been entrepreneur. How do you balance? I don't know if you're married or single, but how do you balance those two worlds, with your personal life and your business world? Because I know it's a struggle for me at times. Do you have a, how do you handle that?
I'm single legally, like I'm not married.
Okay.
I can dedicate all my time working, you know.
Okay.
My brother, I think maybe if he were here, he would be able to talk on his side, but I think he's fine. It's easier. But it's easier when you're single because you don't have any other responsibilities. You
know? Right.
So you want to say, but
in terms of a social life, I really don't have a social life.
Okay.
Yeah, that I know. You don't have a social life.
Yeah, Chris knows that I don't have a social life.
Better than you. You don't have a social life whatsoever.
I don't. That, that's the reality of my thing. You realize the only social side of me is my family.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
See that. Mm-hmm. The only social part of my time. Apart from that, it's just me and my baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I see you there. You put a good shout out for yourself.
Right. Right.
Just in case we forget to mention.
There you go.
From Swahili Honey, Central B, Central Pack B Company.
That's
really nice. So, Chris, what is your African move? In that, when we ask that, is like, well, I'd like you to answer the question by starting saying, my African move is this. So your African move can be a message, a motivation to other young people or other entrepreneurs. Hence, you've said, like, entrepreneurs, we can't, like, this lifestyle does not, it limits your social life. So what is your African move considering the situation we're in right now?
My African move is to be the leading honey company in Africa while maintaining the healthy of bees and ensure sustainability of beekeepers.
Awesome. Yes. So, and what would be your motivation message to the world or to someone who is thinking to do business in Africa or an entrepreneur who is...
Just get started. Forget about the business plans. Forget about the...
The business plan. Waste your time.
Just get started. Do something, and then after you've done it, sit down, evaluate. Mm-hmm. What could I have done? Mm-hmm. Stop this thing of, have a business plan. Let's do this. That's a lot of time wasted. Because while you're doing that, someone else is getting started.
Oh my God. That is very true. That is very true.
That is.
All right. Do you have any other question, Ken?
No, I think, I think you touched on it a little bit. You want to get into the U.S. and other European markets. You know, how far off do you think that will be, Chris, before you? Because I would love to purchase. I'm in the U.S. I don't think I mentioned that. I would love to purchase your honey here in the U.S. I'd like to see it in my local Whole Foods store. So.
Yeah. I would say in 5 years, because we're currently still trying to service the local market. And when I say local, I even include the East African market, you know?
Okay.
All right. So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, but in 5 years, because we have a vision to have a bigger processing facility.
Okay.
Yeah, because the challenge of European and US markets is certification and the quantity demand. They don't go for small quantities. They want 5 tons per month.
Yeah.
10 tons per month. That's a lot.
Okay. Okay, so, Chris. Let me cut you off for a second. How many employees do you have? I don't think you mentioned. Do you? How many
employees? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Currently, we have 22. Permanent employees, and we get about 40 to 45 seasonal.
Oh, wow.
No, these are the ones that you send us to visit villages during the harvest seasons. But the permanent, we have.
Okay. Wow. Man, I think you're doing great things, man. You're doing a lot of great things. Very motivational. You know, I really enjoy speaking with you today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for having me.